I'm Wendy Ring.
I'm Brian Curtis. Welcome to Cool Solutions, stories about climate action from the bottom up. Before we get into today's story, here's some follow-up from a previous episode.
The numbers are in for Veganuary 2022. Over 600,000 people took the 30-day challenge, and even though 45%, like me and Brian, didn't get through the entire month without a morsel of animal products passing our lips, three-quarters of participants have made lasting changes, cutting their meat and dairy consumption in half.
Those are pretty high marks, considering how hard it is to change your diet. And now on with the show.
Our focus here on Cool Solutions is to share stories of climate action from the bottom up. But it seems to us as if more and more we're seeing solutions with origins in the grassroots that eventually rise to the top, affecting state and sometimes even national policy. When you think, why bother to speak up? Who's going to listen to little old me? You might be giving up the chance to make a big difference. This is a story about the power of people's voices, not to shatter crystal, but to break the grip of the fossil fuel industry on government. Clearly, it doesn't always work, but this time it did.
I grew up in the city of Fontana.
That's Andrea Vidaure, co-founder of the People's Collective for Environmental Justice.
So I left to college, came back, and everything was changing.
Fontana is a city of around 200,000 in California's Inland Empire, about an hour's drive east of Los Angeles.
While the rise of online shopping has meant good deals for some, people in places like Fontana are paying for it. While Andrea was in college, her old neighborhood on the predominantly Latino working class south side of town lost 100 homes and gained 140 warehouses. She had studied environmental racism in school, but it didn't really hit home till she returned to her hometown.
The house I used to live in now has a giant Amazon warehouse next to it. The high school is surrounded by warehouses, and that all happened in the span of about 10 years.
We're talking mega warehouses.
The size of several football fields. The first time I saw one of these things, it reminded me of a giant mama hog lying on her side with a piglet on every teat. But instead of cute little piglets, it was 18-wheelers parked at loading docks. And to get there, those giant trucks drive right through people's neighborhoods.
See, America doesn't make that much stuff anymore.
A lot of our things come from overseas. They come in containers on boats. The ports of LA and Long Beach happen to be the largest port in the country. They actually move 40% of the country's things. They then get transloaded into either a railroad or they get transloaded onto the back of trucks. From there, they drive 50 miles into our region to these big warehouses where what's in the container gets broken out, gets put onto other trucks, out into either another warehouse, another part of the country, on a rail yard so it can go to Chicago, or it gets sent to a smaller warehouse to then get sent to either stores or your house because you might be shopping online.
The warehouses go where land is cheap, even if people are already living there.
And so do the big rigs carrying the goods.
Big 18-wheeler trucks, right where people run cross-country track, where people walk to and from school. We get about 20,000 of them on one of our highways every day. And we have about 2 to 3 highways that come into our region.
That adds up to a lot of diesel exhaust, a known cause of heart disease, asthma, and cancer.
We've always had pretty bad air quality. We get some of the worst second formations of pollution from the ports of LA and Long Beach, even though we live 50, 60 miles away. Because of the wind and the way that it gets captured, it gets stuck almost in a basin. At one point, we were having 100 days out of the year where it was unsafe to go outside. That's a third of the year. And that is region-wide.
Now, add to that pollution from hundreds of big rigs driving past your home, or thousands if you live near a freeway, and you're living in what some doctors have called a diesel death zone.
Andrea got involved with a local environmental justice organization trying to stop more warehouses from coming in. They started with local elected officials who have the power to make land use decisions.
We were saying, we don't want warehouses near our homes and schools. Don't rezone us.
But city officials cared more about the potential tax revenue than the communities of color whose neighborhoods were being encroached upon.
We hit a wall because the local cities right now are dead set on bringing this in. They literally say in their campaign trails, the city is open for sale.
Not the whole city.
Where it's wider and with more money, you're not finding the same issues. Because a lot of the people to live next to these places and work in the industry, because the industry in itself has a lot of wage theft. They're not these career jobs. Many of them end up jumping from warehouse to warehouse because they're on temporary contracts. So it almost becomes this like negative feedback loop, because people aren't able to make enough money to move out of these communities that are becoming more and more polluted.
Andrea came to realize this was bigger than just her town.
All of our little cities inland of the ports of LA and Long Beach were all slowly getting transformed into these warehouse hubs.
When a class of college students created a layered regional map overlaying warehouses with rates of asthma and heart disease, and I don't know how they got this, but Amazon purchases, it became clear that the people doing most of the buying were not the ones doing most of the dying.
That's when I started connecting the dots about how our region was being used up for the global supply chain.
Since city governments would not act, they went to their regional air quality board.
We had a very uphill battle. We would go to almost every monthly meeting and show up there and say, you're not going to erase this. You're not going to ignore this. I'm going to be here every single time. I might say the same thing, but that's because the problem isn't gone yet. We were out in the media. We also had actions in front of the air district. It took a lot of community organizing, going into the communities, bringing folks to give their stories. We even, I feel like, did some of the work of the air district. We found warehouses that were piloting zero emission technology. And we're like, see, this is what you need to do. You need to require all of them to do it.
Finally, they want a seat at the table.
You're talking about a bunch of community members who are just learning the ropes. All of our experience about the industry comes from how we know it from our families. In a room full of mostly white men in suits who are lobbyists for the industry.
The frontline communities found allies.
From big greens to community-based organizations, students, academics, all creating this force to try to fight off all of these lobbyists.
But the regional air district could only regulate the warehouses. They had no power over the trucks coming in and out.
That authority belonged to the state. At the same time, Andrea's coalition was pressuring the South Coast Air District. A statewide coalition for clean trucks was also developing. Here's Ray Pingle from the Sierra Club to pick up the story.
I'm a retired healthcare exec. I was a CEO of a very large hospital chain. My wife and I retired. We decided we'd spend half of our time having fun and half of our time doing something for society, basically. When you include the emissions caused by pumping and refining and transporting combustion fuels, 50% of the greenhouse gases in the state are from transportation. And I thought, well, maybe I'll work on the Rodney Dangerfield aspect of transportation, which is medium and heavy duty trucks and buses.
Well, they make up only 6% of California's vehicles. Diesel powered trucks and buses emit 20% of greenhouse gas emissions from transportation, 70% of smog forming chemicals, and 80% of carcinogenic soot.
Ray was part of a small coalition that had been working on a state rule to electrify transit buses. When trucks came up on the state's rulemaking agenda, the coalition was ready to grow.
A colleague of mine in Sierra Club reached out to several groups, say, hey, there's this really important rule that can reduce diesel pollution in environmental justice communities and reduce climate change impacts. And then we just started growing organically.
Add that to the coalition from the Inland Empire, and you've got a coalition of coalitions.
Yep, they're getting stronger.
We got more and more groups, and we have a very diverse coalition now of not only environmental groups, but environmental justice, frontline community organizations, labor, health organizations. We all chip in and get the job done.
The first step for the state of California was to increase the supply of electric trucks by requiring manufacturers to sell an increasing proportion of them every year. This is the same tack California took with electric cars back when hardly anyone was making them.
This is no flash-in-the-pan undertaking.
Rulemaking can easily take a couple or 3 years. The staff will conduct workshops and invite the public to join in on those and give the public an opportunity to file written comments or make verbal comments. And then when they're ready, they'll produce a proposal. And for very large, important rules like this, the board always has two meetings. So the first meeting, that's one of the best opportunities to help change and improve and enhance and strengthen whatever staff might have proposed. And then the board can direct staff that, well, this is a pretty good rule in these areas, but you really need to improve it, strengthen it, and so on. And then they'll have a second meeting after staff has improve the rule, and that might be 4 to 6 months later. You have this period of public testimony that can go on for sometimes hours.
The initial rule proposed by staff was too weak to protect the climate or communities. It would have taken 7 years to require any zero emission sales of big rigs like those polluting Inland Empire neighborhoods. And the numbers would increase so slowly that 80% of trucks would still be diesel in 2045.
And remember, the whole planet is supposed to be zero emissions by 2050.
So the coalition started working toward a stronger rule. Of course, the rule's opponents also had a coalition trying to move in the other direction, including the state's biggest corporate lobby, the Western States Petroleum Association, and the nation's largest natural gas utility, which is owned by a fossil fuel company. These groups spend millions of dollars each year at the state capitol to influence legislation and regulations.
You have the oil and gas industry fighting it tooth and nail. They want to include natural gas fuel vehicles as part of the zero emission rulemaking, which, of course, is kind of an oxymoron. And so you have to counter their false arguments with facts.
Here's some facts. Zero emission big rigs are already a reality. Kenworth and Peterbilt have electric and fuel cell trucks on the road right now, and other manufacturers have versions in development that will reach the market in the next few years. Right now, they do cost a lot more, but with lower maintenance and fuel costs and falling battery prices, the total cost of ownership over the life of these trucks is expected to be on a par with diesel trucks by 2030. But facts aren't always enough to win the day.
You know, I'm very analytical, and I thought I'm going to do a lot of research and come up with a lot of facts and so on that'll say we can do this now, and it's cost effective, and the vehicles are there. And I thought that was the most important thing to do to be successful in something like this. And it's certainly important, and it makes a big contribution. I learned the other side, which is people power.
Frontline groups came up with a simple yet powerful way to show the impact on people whose neighborhoods were inundated with truck traffic.
We started doing truck counts where you just go outside and you start clicking how many trucks are you seeing pass in front of your house. Just like community knowledge. Some streets you were getting 500 trucks an hour, 1,000 trucks an hour, ridiculous amounts of trucks an hour. We said, okay, how does that translate to the 1,000 that we just saw this hour? Does this sound good enough? And naturally people were like, no, I know how many there are. This is nothing. Let's go back and ask for more.
One of the most exciting things in all my experience working on this over the last 6 years is the first board meeting. This is the one where we really want to persuade the board that they need to make it stronger. They had about 100 people make verbal comments at this board meeting. Almost half of those people were part of our coalition.
People came from the Inland Empire, using their sick and vacation days and traveling as much as 400 miles, carrying signs showing how many trucks they counted on their street.
We also ended up doing a walkthrough gallery where we had portraits of some of the community leaders next to it, how many trucks they had counted in their community. So as people were walking into the CART building for that day, they would walk through these portraits. If you couldn't make it to Sacramento, your presence was still there.
Listening to School Solutions with the story of a victory cutting diesel truck emissions. All the stuff we've told you up to this point was to set the stage for this. It's December 12, 2019 at the state capitol in Sacramento, California. Public testimony went on for 7 hours, but I picked out some highlights so you can hear the power of this diverse coalition telling their stories together.
I'm representing IBEW and NECA of the electrical contracting industry, and a member of the coalition led by the Sierra Club supporting a stronger rule. There have been many comments about the cost of the transition to electric trucks. The question is, what will it cost if we do not implement a much stronger rule? The 2018 wildfire season cost approximately $24 billion. In addition, annually, we could soon pay $200 million more for air conditioning, $3 billion from the effects of a long drought, and $18 billion a year to replace buildings inundated by rising seas. Killer heat waves could add more than 11,000 deaths per year by 2050 and cost tens of billions of dollars. UCLA scientists forecast at least one near trillion-dollar disaster in decades to come. A stronger truck rule will require sacrifices, but please keep in mind the much greater economic, health, safety, and environmental sacrifices we will all face if we fail to move aggressively.
Tengo 20 años viviendo en el Inland Empire. Han estado circulando demasiados camiones por bodegas que se han estado abriendo.
I come from the Inland Empire. I've been living there for 20 years, and I've seen the massive increase of trucks and warehouses that have come into the community.
El humo de los camiones ha estado dañando más a la gente. Llega el momento en la tarde, 3, 4, 5 de la tarde, los ojos a veces empiezan a arder por la contaminación.
This black smoke from these trucks, if you go outside at around 3, 4, or 5, your eyes will literally start to burn.
Igual también tengo un hijo de asma y con él tenemos que tener un tiempo definido para que pueda salir. Después de cierto tiempo ya no puede salir a hacer deporte.
I also have a young son. He has asthma, and I have to give him a short amount of time to go outside, and then he has to go back inside.
Por eso pedimos el 15%. Arriba, ese es el gol que buscamos.
That's why we're here asking for 15% at the very minimum.
Thank you.
I am a pediatrician and former state health officer speaking today on behalf of 20 health and medicine organizations urging a strengthened ACT rule. The American Lung Association, the American Academy of Pediatrics, the American Cancer Society, the American College of Physicians, and many more. Through recent reports, we have gained a deeper and more troubling understanding of the impacts of air pollution and climate change on our health and on our future. Over 90% of Californians live in counties impacted by unhealthy air, and our cities dominate the lists of the most ozone and particulate polluted cities in the United States. Climate-driven events like extreme heat and wildfires make the job of achieving healthy air that much harder. We must act decisively now.
Vivo en la ciudad de San Bernardino, California. Soy madre y abuela.
I live in the community of San Bernardino, California, and I'm a mother and a grandmother.
El pasado verano tuvimos más de 100 días con altos niveles de contaminación.
This past year, we had more than 100 days of air that was polluted.
Vengo a decirle lo que está sufriendo mi comunidad.
I'm here to tell you how our community is suffering.
No pedimos, exigimos.
We are not asking, we are demanding.
Como uno de nuestros derechos que tenemos como seres humanos a tener aire limpio.
I am a kindergarten teacher at Sunny Slope Elementary that overlooks a skyline of brown and blue, a sky that does not share the verisimilitude with skies in the books that I read to them. My students have to breathe this sky. We have days where we cannot go outside due to air quality. We have days where students must walk instead of run, days where students wear face masks in order to breathe. As a community member in a warehouse city, as an elementary teacher, and as a concerned California citizen, I ask that you hear our pleas and raise the standards for green technology.
I'm a scientist at the Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory. Battery technology has improved much faster than what we had anticipated. The price reductions have come about 10 to 15 years ahead of schedule. We find that the total cost of ownership of most electric trucks are already lower than diesel. A ZEV trajectory that will be consistent with carbon neutrality requires the ambition to be raised by 4 to 5x. The net benefits of a climate consistent and more ambitious rule is about $60 billion. That's it. So this is my comments as a scientist, but I'm also a father of a four-year-old, so my scientist comments stop here. But I feel that, look, the technology has moved very rapidly, and there is a crisis, and there are $60 billion of net benefits on the table. So I really believe that strengthening the rule will serve the planet well.
I'm a youth leader from the city of Oxnard. The port in Oxnard is trying to expand. There will be more diesel trucks polluting my community. Our community is already in the 80 percentile of diesel emission and suffers tremendously from pollution. These trucks will be passing by the elementaries, schools, which will risk the health of so many kids.
Over 120 scientists, including notable university professors, doctors, deans of public health schools, directors of leading research centers, National Academy members, former EPA and CDC staff, have signed on to a letter in support of a stronger ACT rule.
Donde nosotros vivimos no es una zona industrial.
We don't live in an industrial area.
Pero pasan más de 300 camiones por hora.
There's 300 trucks that pass by an hour.
En la primaria a la que asiste mi niño menor ahora,
at the school that my youngest child goes to school at.
47% de esos niños salió con asma.
47% of the children have asthma. In the Inland Empire, there is no plan for sustainability from leadership. It's just grow, 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 more trucks, more trucks, more trucks. So we come to this agency believing that we have an ally in this struggle against the corruption of local leadership. And what do we get? A proposal that is totally out of touch with our reality.
Staff has told us that the rule is less about a specific number and more about sending a signal to manufacturers. But by aiming so far below what is feasible, that signal appears to be, take your time. That's the wrong signal.
Growing up and having to see your siblings gasp for air that isn't all that healthy is horrifying. All I want is for young children to grow and not have to worry about how bad the air quality is or if I'll have trouble breathing today.
I urge you to set the rule for a 15% sales target. We need to stop putting our economic benefits before our planet and people, as folks will not even have a planet to spend their money on.
Vivo en San Bernardino, California. Hay muchas enfermedades, como el asma, cáncer, problemas respiratorios en mi comunidad. En las calles de mi comunidad circulan 147 camiones cada 30 minutos por calle.
In the streets of my community, I counted 147 trucks that passed in 30 minutes.
Que sientan en su corazón ayudar como si un familiar de ustedes estuvieran en esa situación.
Please feel in your heart as if someone in your family was in this situation.
As I think of what a strong truck rule means for our communities, I can't help but to feel emotional as I think of the relief we'll experience and how better off our future generations will be. It makes me hopeful to think of how many emergency room visits we'll be spared from. And I can't shake that feeling because the first thing I got to do as a legal adult was sign myself out of the hospital on my 18th birthday because I was suffering from a respiratory flare. When the clock struck 12, the nurses and I just exchanged a glance because there's nothing happy about not being able to breathe. These health issues are the result of living in diesel death zones, of having our schools host our sports practices adjacent to the I-710 freeway that carries over 40,000 truck trips a day. When we say we are just trying to breathe, we mean it. We need relief now. I ask the board that you adopt the most aggressive truck mandate possible. Our communities, our health, and our lives depend on it. Thank you.
Thank you.
We had a common objective, which was strengthen a rule, and we had a few talking points on how the rule could be strengthened that most people in the coalition echoed. But everyone came from their own perspective of why this was important. It was very heartfelt. Our coalition made a huge difference.
The Air Resources Board asked staff to make a more ambitious rule.
As State Air Board staff revised the rule, the coalition met with staff and board members to keep the pressure on.
We don't have anything to gain economically. We're there just trying to make things better for the state and the world, and that gives us a lot of credibility, I think.
The result? In 2020, the California Air Resources Board adopted an advanced clean trucks rule twice as strong as the original draft. Sales quotas for zero-emission trucks begin in 2024, and to sell their trucks in California, 30 to 50% of a manufacturer's sales must be zero emissions in 2030, rising to 55 to 70% in 2035 and to 100% by 2045.
That gives us the supply. We don't have the trucks. They're not here. Who's selling them? Was always an argument, so now you can't say they're not here.
California, because of its severe air pollution, is the only state allowed to set vehicle standards that are stricter than the EPA. But other states can choose to follow California's rules. A month after California adopted its advanced clean truck rule, 15 states signed a memorandum of agreement that 30% of medium and heavy-duty trucks sold in their states would be zero emissions by 2030. Within 6 months, five states, Oregon, Washington, New York, New Jersey, and Massachusetts, adopted California's stricter advanced clean truck rule. Maine, Connecticut, Colorado, and Rhode Island are currently in the process. And that's not all. In 2021, after 10 years of community pressure, the South Coast Air District finally did pass a rule requiring Inland Empire warehouse operators to lower their emissions. Where before only community members were counting trucks, now warehouses must count truck visits and adopt mitigation measures like rooftop solar and electric vehicle chargers in proportion to their diesel truck traffic.
Something we hear a lot is that we can't have electric trucks because we don't have electric infrastructure. This is really going to set them up to have infrastructure for the future.
California isn't done. Sales quotas were just the first step on the road to zero emission trucks.
The state's next step is to create a rule where fleet owners have to buy them.
By the middle of next year, we'll have something locked in the state of California that's going to say, by a certain year, trucks will need to start turning over their fleets.
The goal? All diesel trucks off the road by 2045. The coalition is still growing. At last count, it included 32 organizations, and it's already affecting the fleet rule in a powerful way.
My favorite part of the coalition was labor and the environment, making sure that it's not just about the technology, but it's also about the workers. So we're putting into the policy that the onus for transitioning from a diesel truck to an electric truck has to fall on these companies who are using the service to move their things. Not this trucker who is already probably paying a lot out of their paycheck just to keep that truck's rent going.
Diversity makes coalitions stronger inside and out.
The younger generation is miles ahead than I was when I was their age. A lot of them are pushing us to go faster and stronger than we can imagine. Because one of the downfalls, if I have to reflect about getting super into the policy, you get into their timelines, their structures of what's possible. When you kind of get stuck in the weeds of it, I think you forget what's possible. And so that is really important to us.
Every government body, from your city council to federal agencies, accepts public comments as part of their rulemaking process.
Showing up to speak up can make a huge difference.
Individual comments, both written and in real time, are way more effective than signing a petition. And introverts, don't count yourselves out. People who look really nervous get the most attention because it's obvious they care deeply enough to force themselves to do it.
And with so many public meetings taking place over Zoom, it's easier than ever to make public comments right from the comfort of your home.
Are you ready to speak up? We've got links to guides on making public comments at our website.
cool-solutions.org.
The story you just heard was one victory in a larger struggle of communities near ports, railroads, and distribution hubs around the U.S., suffering unfair impacts from a diesel-powered global supply chain. To learn more about their fight for zero emissions in freight, go to movingforwardnetwork.com. You have been listening to Cool Solutions, stories of climate action from the bottom up. Thanks to Andrea Vidaure, Ray Pingle, Bernie Contley, Mark Horton, Armol Farke, Carlos Caballero, Olga Flores, Antonio Flores, Lorena Rodarte, Veronica Roman, Ada Trujillo, Gabriela Mendez, Brenda Angulo, and youth leaders Yesenia and Yesinga from CAUSE in Oxnard. Thanks to Scott Holmes and Blue Dot Sessions for our music, and thanks to you for listening. You will find more stories about people building climate solutions from the bottom up at our website, cool-solutions.org, or wherever you get your podcasts.